bring the assembly meeting to order.
The audience, please rise.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good job, Rockstar. With that, we'll welcome PAC 6, Dan 1, to the chambers. They're studying citizenship and civic duties, so we had one brave soul to come up. So, our first order of business is our special order of business. Mr. Davis, would you come on up? Carrying his big sign, or his big check. Anyway, tonight we are recognizing a local hero. His name is Bergen Davis. He has the unfortunate... I've known Bergen since he was a young child. So we chased each other around the pool many a times. Well, he swam a lot, and I chased him, cheering him. So, anyway, as part of its Summer of Heroes program, Alaska Communication Service recognized 6 young people who are doing outstanding work in their communities in Alaska. And Bergen is the only selection from Southeast, so congratulations, Bergen. Since early childhood, Bergen routinely set aside up to 20% of his earnings to buy fresh produce and haul carloads of goods to the Glory Hall, homeless shelter, and soup kitchen. He is known for selflessly getting needed groceries, winter coats, and blankets, all while saving money for college and his own daily expenses. For years, Bergen did all of this quietly. However, this past spring, using his platform as an excellent swimmer, I added that, student-athlete, he orchestrated a statewide campaign called Sock Sacks for the Homeless. This program collected basic care items for individuals experiencing homelessness. Bergen is now in college. Which college?
Oklahoma Christian University.
And he's as a swimmer there also, and plans to continue making a positive impact while advocating for his peers to get involved in community service. I want to honor Bergen for his selfless acts over the years and applaud him for being recognized by ACS as one of their heroes. In addition to being given a $1,500 scholarship, the Juneau Assembly wanted to recognize Bergen also, as he is one of our heroes too. So we are lucky to catch him on his winter break. He just got home, and Juneau is proud to call him one of our own. So congratulations to Bergen. All right. Thank you, Bergen and family and ACS. With that, we will go to approval of minutes. Mrs. Becker.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move that we approve the September 17th, 2018 regular assembly meeting minutes and the December 1, 2018 special meeting minutes and ask for unanimous consent.
Any objection? So moved. So manager's request for agenda changes.
Madam Mayor, I have one request, and that would be that we transfer T-1007 number 5 on the consent agenda, that we postpone this for hearing until the second assembly meeting in January 2019. Gives us time to review the recent court order from Judge Holland regarding the CLIA litigation. Also puts it on the same meeting when the assembly will have the ordinance on the purchase and sale for that project. So all of those decisions will be at that meeting. Just okay. That one change. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Public participation for non-agenda items. Thank you. Okay, could we have Mr. Albert Shaw come on up? Okay, Mr. Shaw, you will have 2 minutes, and you start by announcing your name and address, please.
I thought it was three, but that's all right. Albert Shaw, I'm here again, as I have testified several times in the last 50 years, to ask the Assembly to complete the annexation of the northern part of Admiralty Island. That includes Seymour Canal, a line across north of Lake Florence, connecting up to the northeast corner of Sitka Borough, and includes the palatial houses in Bunker Bay, and they are palatial. You'd like to have what it costs to take the landing barge out there for all that material. Had I been successful when I originally drew the borough boundaries, and I drew them, I wouldn't be here. I wanted it then, I want it now. So I ask you to complete that, please. Any questions?
Any questions for Mr. Shaw?
Ask a question. I don't know the history. You say you drew them. How
I was
that?
On the committee.
On the boundary commission?
Yes.
Okay.
And I drew them. Most people wanted a much smaller borough. Literally walk 100 yards off the road system, which is much smaller than it is now.
Right.
Hell, I'd have gone to the outskirts of Anchorage and Fairbanks. I'd have taken half the state.
Thank you.
No, that's no joke. Most people think very small. Unfortunately, and it's a very common thing. I don't.
Thank you.
All right, any more questions for Mr. Shaw? All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Quayle.
William Quayle, 415, Willoughby, number 415. I came to the conclusion after working during the winter, there needs to be two sets of rules, one for the summer and one for the winter. The boundaries set up for just downtown does not work very well when you're trying to work from, you're trying to work at the Foodland, and 10th Street is your boundary. You can't take people to the you get requests for go to the marina, you get requests for going to Douglas. There needs to be two set, leave the rules almost the same for during the summer. I understand the reason why they don't want to take people at night. With extending the where we can go. My competition, James Houck, he wants to go all the way to the glacier. Working during the summer, I did get quite a few requests, and he wants to take the whole day taking people out there. I'm all, let him do it, And also, it's be really instrumental, and a lot of other cities let them do it, is to have electric access for our pedicab. It makes things a lot easier, especially when it comes to going up hills. It would definitely help us a lot. But there needs to be two sets of rules, one for the winter. So that means when you get a request for a ride, which are few and far between, okay, you're able to do it because we get charged when it comes to our insurance. We still have to have an annual, we still have to pay every month when it comes to that. And when it comes to the fees, they still charge us $50 for the fee, and I don't think that's right. And it's really, we charge the same as a taxi, and the taxis, we still have the restriction. We have more restrictions than the taxis do.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Quayle? All right. Thank you, Mr. Quayle. Okay, that brings us to Connie Holbert.
Connie Hulbert, I'm at 6300 North Douglas Highway. I'm the president and general manager of AELMP, and I just wanted to come in and give you guys a general update. I see that the Assembly has adopted energy sustainability goals, and I wanted to say that we would like to be involved in that effort and look forward to working with the Assembly and community towards achieving those goals. Also, I just, on a general note, want to thank the community for being involved in our 125th anniversary this year. We had a number of fun events, including participating in the 4th of July parade and the community picnic, and we recently had a cookie extravaganza at our office where members of our staff baked cookies and treats for the and had the public come in. So we've really enjoyed celebrating our 125th anniversary. And also wanted to give you guys an update on where we're at on interconnection with Juneau Hydropower. So there have been questions about the process in the past. In order for them to interconnect, there are three studies required. And at this point, two studies have been completed, and we're waiting on the third study.
So. All right. Any questions for Ms. Holbert? All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
That looks like Bill Leahy.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Bill Leahy, 227 Gastineau Avenue. In light of the judge's decision, Judge Holland, and our increasing recognition of the emergency of the CO2 emission problem, I suggest that we begin right now asking ourselves and our friends in the cruise ship industry and our legal advisors, how shall we plan to use the revenue from what we call the cruise ship head tax? I suggest three things that should be at the top of our discussion agenda, and of course it's your opportunity to present the leadership to bring us all together and say, let's get working on these or others, or ask others to take that leadership. And you know we have many groups here in the community interested in the climate change problem as we simplify it, as well as other energy aspects. Three ideas. Use that revenue to electrify the docks so that the ships may emit less CO2 and burn less fuel while they're in port, or even require them to do that. Secondly, replace the diesel buses with battery electric vehicles or hydrogen fuel cell buses. And in my dialogue with John Binkley at the end of the JEDC Innovation Summit in February, I said, John, how are you helping us plan for whether we are exceeding the carrying capacity of the community and how we're going to deal with the congestion problem at both ends of the dumbbell, downtown and at the Glacier Visitor Center? Well, he said, that's your responsibility. So let's take that responsibility and help them think about what our carrying capacity is. Third, a hydroelectric-powered fixed guideway transit system. Somebody in the community has been waving his hand about that for decades. I'll take the blame for that. But this may be an opportunity to bring to the community not only a very expensive project, any fixed guideway system is going to be expensive, but one with a very high benefit-to-cost ratio, which would solve the congestion problem for our friends in the cruise ship industry and also allow us to live with fewer privately owned vehicles. We have 25,000 privately owned vehicles at $8,000 per year after-tax income to support that fleet of ours. You do the math. That's a lot of money leaving the community that doesn't need to leave the community if we'd ride around on the hydropowered fixed guideway, light rail, streetcar, name your fixed guideway system. So I suggest that we start now. Your leadership or other groups, at least ask other groups to take the leadership and begin the conversation among ourselves, our friends in the cruise ship industry, energy industry, like Connie, and get started immediately. Thank you.
All right. Any questions for Mr. Leahy? Thank you.
Yep.
Ms. Heaton, did you want to do non-agenda or public hearing testimony tonight? You didn't check the box. Public hearing? Okay. Thank you. Anybody missed the sign-up sheet and want to testify on anything non-agenda items? All right. Seeing none, we will move on. Any public requests for consent agenda changes other than ordinance for introduction? Okay, seeing and hearing none. Any assembly requests for non-agenda or for consent agenda changes?
All right. Ms. Glashevsky.
I would move the consent agenda as amended by the manager with the removal of that one item.
Any objections? Seeing, hearing none, so moved. Okay, that brings us to public hearing. Madam Clerk.
Ordinance 2018-41, version C, an ordinance amending the land use code relating to alternative residential subdivisions.
All right, thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Manager.
This ordinance would amend the land use code to allow for a new housing option. This ordinance would create reasonable minimum standards and procedures for small lot residential communities in which all or some of the lots do not substantially conform to the minimum requirements for a traditional subdivided lot. This ordinance also permits flexibility in the use of land desired by the community, encourages small lot residential communities, encourages a different type of housing option, encourages development of quality affordable housing, and encourages residential developments that are in harmony with the surrounding area. Other communities have recently authorized this type of housing option. The Title 49 Committee and the Planning Commission held multiple hearings on this ordinance. On September 25, 2018, the Planning Commission recommended the Assembly adopt this ordinance. The Assembly Committee of the Whole discussed this matter at its meetings on October 22nd, November 19th, and December 10th. The Committee of the Whole recommended that Assembly adopt version C of this ordinance. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. We have some testimony, so Mr. Harris.
My name is Richard Harris with RH Development. I don't know if I need to state my address or anything. It's on the sheet. Are we good with that? All right. Thank you all for letting me speak tonight. Is it possible to show anything on the screen tonight with this? Or is this just strictly speaking? That's it.
It's not set up.
Okay.
You want to take the moment to set
USB
it up?
Port to a laptop for the USB port?
Can you arrange that, Madam Clerk?
Take somebody else while it's getting set up.
Okay.
So I'll start with just a couple things. She set that up, and I appreciate you doing that. I think the first thing that I want to try to get across, and hopefully we can acknowledge, is that there's a difference between a subdivision and a condominium. And once you realize the differences between those two, you'll realize that this ordinance mixes those two items together. And I'll point out and show a few spots where this is a problem. The CBG and the Planning Commission have always asked on multiple occasions, why are the PUDs and cottage housing not being used? And the reason is because they're overregulated and they're burdensome, and people don't use them. And it's pretty clear and it's obvious that that is the case, because if you just look around the development that's going on in Juneau right now, the majority of any substantial projects are all condominiums. You're not seeing PUDs. You're not seeing any of these other types of development. Everyone's moved to condominium because it's a little less regulation and thumb of the CBGA on every issue that needs to come up with the development. So that's just a couple of the points I wanted to make out, just to do with the with the ordinance in itself. But if this comes up and we can show this, I'd like to show a couple other communities do have planned unit development, or excuse me, unit lot subdivision in their ordinances, but all of theirs are crystal clear that they are a subdivision and not a condominium. And Juneau's is not. It's very convoluted. Right in the very first paragraph under purpose, it says that it's a common interest community and a condominium. So that should not be in there. It blurs the whole ordinance. Are we up?
Choose which one you want.
So I'll just start out with this is just one random one, Snohomish County, Washington. And in this, where are we going? I think this is important for you to see that other communities that have unit lot subdivisions, it's very clear that they are a subdivision. And I'll point this out if we can get this up, but it basically says that the unit lot subdivision is an alternative to condominiums. It's crystal clear written into their purpose of the ordinance. Juneau's does not do that. If you go, here we go. You'll see. No, we won't see.
There we go.
Success.
Subdivision projects provide opportunities to fee simple ownership of land as an alternative to condominiums.
That's a unit lot subdivision in Snohomish County. And if you want copies of this stuff, you can have it. You can look it up online. Anchorage has a crystal clear version. If you go to their regulations and ordinances, they actually have alternative residential subdivisions as the category that unit lot subdivisions and planned unit developments and cottage housing, they all fit underneath the caption of alternative residential subdivision. Juneau's is, I mean, it's like an alternative residential subdivision, unit lot subdivision condominium. I can't figure out what it is. And it's I could point those sections out in the ordinance that create all this confusion. I don't see how any developer is ever going to decipher all this. And so I don't know if we are going to get there on that. So this is the Anchorage version. Alternative residential subdivisions. It's a section. Unit lot subdivisions is the bottom item, and it's within that. It's real clear, but if you go down to this 839 unit lot subdivision, nowhere in there does it talk about common interest communities or condominiums. It's clearly a subdivision. And this, I brought the point up before. I don't know if you need me to show this here. I can move on, but I want to show these points because I think they're very important as you're trying to decide on this ordinance tonight. Unit lot subdivision. You know, also take note of this, that it's only 3 pages long. It's very simple and it's easy to read. Somehow Juneau's has gone to 15, 16 pages. It's really convoluted. There's so much in there that doesn't need to be in there.
Okay, Mr. Harris, I have to ask you to wrap up.
Okay, I'll wrap up. Can I hand out one form to each person? That question is directly related to this ordinance, and you would have to answer that question, I believe, through this ordinance. Now, one last thing I'd like to point out is that if you turn to page 12 of 15 in the ordinance, under 4915950, final alternative residential subdivision plan approval, and you go to item 1, it it states, the articles of incorporation and bylaws of this homeowners association required under AS 3408 or this chapter. So this is where the confusion starts. AS 3408 is a state regulation on condominiums, which I believe regulates condominiums. So why is it in this chapter? This chapter needs to be separated and cover subdivisions only and not condominiums. And in my closing, this ordinance was created at the expense of our development. Obviously, we've shown proof of that. It's very clear. And the code reference is being based on the definition of subdivision. So you need to be clear between a subdivision and a condominium. This ordinance is not. I can point out multiple places within this in this ordinance that cause and create confusion. I don't know that any builder's ever been involved with the creation of this ordinance. The Planning Commission Assembly have asked on multiple occasions for builders to be involved in the building association. I don't believe they took any input on this from the the building association. They're here tonight. And in any event, there is an appeal process going on because of this ordinance, and this ordinance was created because of this appeal, or our project anyway, and the appeal, at the very least, should be heard, and the outcome should be heard before this ordinance is ever passed. And that's what I'm asking tonight, is if you could table this thing until the appeal is finished, and then we could potentially, go through it and create it as a subdivision, as every other community has, instead of mixing unit lots, subdivisions, and alternative residential subdivisions. You can't mix
it. I have to ask you to stop.
Okay. Thank you.
Way past your 2 minutes.
I was trying to fit a lot in a short time.
I know. Thank you.
Mr. Harris, would you like to read this?
All right. With that, next one is Victor Banaszak. Hopefully I was close enough, Victor.
Good evening. Thanks for having us. I'm here representing, I'm the president of the Southeast Home Builders and also the vice president of the Alaska State Home Builders. And obviously, like we said, we're a little bit concerned due to the mixing of the terminology and also the difference between condos being a type of ownership and a subdivision being a type of division of land. And I am here hopefully representing the building community saying that, we struggle with a lot of things. Alaska's very, very high in cost already. And then people tend to look at us like, this is ridiculous. You guys are ripping us off. Down south, we can get it for half. And there's a number of reasons that attribute to that, but one of them is cost of shipping, cost of everything, everything that goes into getting stuff here, wages, et cetera. But the other one is that we have the most stringent codes in the United States. And basically what I'd like to suggest is that regulation does not equal more affordability. In fact, it works the other way. Now, it might create, it might have benefits as well, but as it stands right now, it by Juneau specifically being regulated significantly higher than a lot of areas, Fairbanks, the greater Fairbanks area is almost 100,000 people. They don't even have a building permit department. Matsu, the same way, no building. And I'm not suggesting that we don't have one. I'm not at all. What I'm suggesting is that, the sky hasn't fallen there. And so if as the president and trying to be a go-between between the building community and the city and borough of Juneau, I would like to hopefully create a relationship where when things like these are happening that we can maybe work together on it. Because right now we almost feel like we're kind of getting jabbed a little bit, and again, I'm not here in any type of a hostile way. I'm hoping that we can open up a little bit better communication in the future, and also that maybe, as Rich said, we table this until the appeal process is finished. That way we can look at it more and maybe discuss some of the things further. And I know you've already had multiple discussions, but like I said, as far as the home part of the home builders, we haven't had a chance really to look it over and see how it's going to affect us. So thank you for having us. I appreciate it.
Right. Any questions for Mr. Banaszak? And I forgot to get questions for Mr. Harris. We'll bring him back up if we have questions. Ms. Treem.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
So as somebody pretty new to this, I've heard both tonight at the Affordable Housing Commission the concerns from the building industry on the condos being in here, but I don't understand what that problem is. Could you just explain why that's a problem?
So a subdivision is a completely separate type of thing. It's where land is subdivided. A condominium is strictly a form of ownership. And so the state has, you know, there's some things in the state that say municipalities cannot overregulate something more than they would regulate any other type of subdivision. And so what's happening is with this overlapping a type of ownership versus a subdivision, type of subdivision, as Rich said, they don't go together. They're two completely separate animals. They aren't the same. Type of ownership is so totally different than the land it sits on. And so we just need a delineation a little bit better and have a little bit more of a voice in what's going on with that. Because like he said, developers see, I've been told as president of the home builders that Juneau is a hostile building environment. And that has to do with codes. And that's not me making it up. That's what's been told to me by a number of builders who would like to continue doing things. But they're like, eh. And I hate to see that because that's my trade. And so.
All right. Mr. Jones.
No, thanks.
Okay, Mr. Bryson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Mr. Manzak, assuming that we could remove the condominium ownership component, are the rest of the details of the alternative residential subdivision, are they acceptable or workable to the building trades? Is it only the addition of the condominium ownership that is adding complication to this? Or do you see this as the ARS as a positive move towards helping development of Juneau? Or do you view it, in your opinion, as we need to start from scratch? Or where are you guys at on this?
My opinion is to take condos completely out of it. That's my personal opinion. Because it's working right now. It's not broken. So why should we fix it if it's not broken? Now, the other portions of it, I actually, personally, I might get hammered to the wall for this, but I think that you guys are trying to do a good thing, and I appreciate that. But if we were to take the condos out of it, then we could still have people, you know, even in this room, that are building pretty good size projects. You know, there's a number of developers, like I said, in this room that are doing those things, and they're very successful with it. As soon as those get over regulated, then the PUD issues, the cottage housing issues, that's going to take over, and I'm afraid we're going to start scaring people away.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Ms. Hale.
Thank you for testifying, Mr. Banzak. Have you been before the Planning Commission or with the Title 49 Committee as they've been working on this? Have you?
I have not personally been, but a couple of us have made it. It's silly. I coach on the evenings that the meetings are, and so I haven't been able to make it.
It's complicated.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Mr. Keel.
Thank you. Thanks for coaching. Question about the impact of your request, though. If we took condos out of the proposed ordinance, would then only unit lot subdivisions be eligible for the density bonuses, and condos would not be eligible for density bonuses?
That's kind of a detail that I don't have an opinion on.
Okay.
But for sure, obviously, for sure, the unit lot subdivision. I mean, again, I'm not a huge developer. I'm a builder and, you know, more of single family. But at the same time, it would be nice if they were eligible. But if it's one or the other, we would want condos out.
Okay. Thank you.
Right. Any more questions for Mr. Malizic? All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
And now we're looking for Alan Wilson. Excuse me, before you start, Mr. Wilson, did we have any questions for Mr. Harris? Do we need to pull him back up? Okay, thank you. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mayor, members of Assembly. My name is Alan Wilson. I am a local builder, 7290 Glacier Highway. And I'm going to start off tonight, full disclosure, I do not build condos. I do not build multifamily projects. So my comments are more related to the process, and more importantly for my concern is the perception that goes out when my involvement at the state level and trying to recruit people to come down and do projects in Juneau, and they look at stuff like this, and they just shake their heads and go away. Now, I did have a chance to speak with two of the biggest condominium builders in Anchorage, and both of them no longer build condos since the adoption of Anchorage's condominium ordinances that they passed. When I asked them why that was, I just said it's just too much regulation. It's easier to go back to single-family projects. I want to touch on Mr. Keel's question a little bit. It's my understanding that the bonuses would only apply to this document as it's written. So if we took condos out of it, then those bonuses would only apply to this. So I'm not sure. I do know that when we talk to other multifamily developers about bonuses and this sort of concept that's been proposed, is that they all like them, but they've come back and said, well, it won't fit my project because my project doesn't fit under this ordinance. So I think the answer to your question is if we take condos out, then the bonus kind of goes along with the condos. I'm sorry, I lost my thought here. So there are parts of this ordinance I think are really good. They went a long way in fixing some of the other issues. When I served on the Affordable Housing Commission and was chair of that group, we spent a lot of time on the cottage housing ordinance. We were very concerned that a bunch of undesirable buildings were built, and we were so effective at that, none got built of any quality or standards whatsoever. So I think we really need to be careful as a governing body just how far we go with ordinances, and without support from the industry, we're all kind of questioning and confused about what this really is. We need to step back and take a pause and maybe go through it in more detail, and that's kind of what we're asking tonight is, please hold off on this ordinance and give us some time to go through it with the director and in the development community.
All right, thank you. Annie, Ms. Hale.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson, for coming and testifying. Have you been to the Planning Commission meeting and the Title 49 meetings as they've been considering this?
I have met with two different committees, not Planning Commission, however. Title 49 and then with the director at a couple of private meetings as well.
Okay, thank you for doing that. Mm-hmm.
Any more questions for Mr. Wilson? All right, thank you.
Thank you.
And that brings us to Tracy Heaton.
Hello, Madam Chair. Through the chair. My name is Tracy Heaton, and I live at 9391 River Court Way. I'm an associate broker at Juno Real Estate. The ordinance amending the land use code relating to alternative residential subdivision is related to a new type of housing here in Juneau, a site condo or detached condo. It's true that other communities have embraced this type of housing option, but it does not need to be regulated to the degree that this amendment is. The state already has statute in effect to regulate condominiums, and in fact, the state regulates condominiums. The city can have ordinances, but they should not be contrary to what the state statute is. I ask you to vote for a change that would, I ask you not to vote for a change that would further discourage builders from investing in affordable housing here. Just recently, Juneau, as of this last year, is the first we finally have site condos or detached condos here, and they are in demand for buyers that want new housing that's affordable, that has low impact on a community. They're beautiful. It is a new type of housing that needs some care put into how this is designed and regulated. The current amendment has some flaws in it, and it may be premature to vote for this at this point. As Mr. Harris mentioned, there is an appeal going on right now, and we ask you that you table this, that you wait until after that appeal has been finished, and maybe some things can be worked out through that appeal before approval is made this evening. In closing, I want to let you know that it's very difficult in the real estate market to be able to work with buyers and sellers and be able to provide a high-quality home here in Juneau. And site condos are the wave of the future. Juneau needs to look forward to providing a way for buyers to be able to purchase this and bring this into Juneau, but take your time with this ordinance, with amending this ordinance. Thank you.
All right. Any questions for Ms. Heaton? Mr. Bryson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Ms. Heaton, could you give us an example of a site condo, or maybe list one of the projects?
I sure can. It's not Sunset Meadows, which is right across the street from Safeway NAO. We're saying it was the first site condo in Juneau, but really it's the second. There was one previously, but it was more of a commercial project. And those buildings are, phase one had 9 site condos in it, phase two has 8, and phase three could have up to 30. They're individual homes. Only 2 of them are attached. The rest are detached condos, so they provide, although they're very close together, they provide privacy, so you're not sharing a common wall. We have yet to have one finished that has not been under contract. They are in demand. People are liking this new concept.
Thank you.
Ms. Blaszewski?
You used word detached condo and site condo. Are you saying those are the same thing?
Some people use those interchangeably, yes.
Okay. Ms. Hale, did you have a question?
Thank you, Ms. Heaton. So for those site condos, is the land ownership not, does not go with the condo?
The building? Land ownership, it is one lot. It is owned by the homeowners association. One person could not purchase, say, unit number 2 and remove themselves from that association. It is a condominium by definition. Just like if you were to purchase at Riverside Condos, where you have 2 units, 2 units, and 2, you know, 6 units in a cube, you can't remove one unit. It doesn't come with fee simple ownership down to the center of the earth. The ownership ends, and this is where some of the technicality came up in this process, was that sometimes the land is goes to the foundation. In Anchorage and Seattle, it's common for that land maybe to go down to the utilities, so the utilities are part of goes with the home. But at Sunset Meadows, homeowners, they own the structure. They take care of the roof, the walls. They have a limited common area in the backyard. Our dues are only $188. And so for qualifying for a home, site condos allow buyers to actually purchase more home than a traditional condo. If you were to purchase a condo, say that was $400,000 and they had dues of $500 to $600, that's almost equivalent to $100,000 to $120,000 more that a buyer needs to qualify for their loan. So having a low amount of dues, which site condos do, or detached condos, it allows buyers to purchase more home and be able to afford condominiums.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mr. Edwardson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and thank you, Ms. Heaton. I guess I'm asking about your professional judgment. The site condos that you're discussing, would you call those affordable?
Well, I was a real estate broker in the lower 48. When I moved up here, it took me a year to get over the sticker shock for what affordable was. Down there, you could purchase a home for $100,000 to $120,000. Here, it's very difficult to find a home, a single-family home, under $300,000. So affordable housing is a little bit different term up here. I will say that for a new home, it's difficult to find something that is under $450,000 to $500,000. This is something that allows somebody to have a brand new home. It's under $400,000, and if you look at the stats, under $400,000 tends to sell much quicker than if it's over $400,000. That tends to be where the majority of our market is. So although I wouldn't coin it affordable housing, I would say that anything under $400,000 that provides buyers a nice space, you know, just around 1,500 square feet, brand new, and low maintenance for the next 20 to 30 years, is a really nice option.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any more questions for Ms. Heaton? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else who wants to testify on this ordinance that didn't make the sign-up sheet? All right. I would say I think we need to bring up Ms. McLean, because I think we might have some questions for her. Anybody have any questions for Ms. McLean? Ms. Glaszewski.
Sure. Two would be, could you respond to the issues about condos in or out of this ordinance, and also whether this ordinance has anything to say about site condos and detached condos?
Certainly. So, and the city attorney can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that our intent when we looked at including condominiums in this ordinance was simply to provide another option. If you wanted to do a traditional condominium development, you're certainly still allowed to do so under either a minor, if it's a minor development, it could just be a building permit, or if it were a major development, it would go through the conditional use permit as you do today. And that would still apply if you wanted to do a traditional condominium development. If, however, as you know, you were just speaking, I believe it was Mr. Keel that asked about the bonuses, if you wanted to get that density increase, then you would have to come in under the ARS. We do have another section of code in Title 49 that does allow for bonuses. We've had a developer or two utilize them since I've been here, but they're a little trickier. And so when we wrote this ordinance, we tried to make that the bonus section a bit more clear and easier to use. And the other thought that I have when we look at doing more of a condominium option here is that, and I've said this before, that when we look at land use and ordinances from down south or even up in Anchorage, they're not Juneau. They don't have our topography. They don't have our climate. Even Anchorage is sprawling. They have plenty of land. So we have to be a little bit more creative and maybe flexible, and that was the intent with this ordinance. And if you wanted to come in and use this for a condominium development, a thought is that if you were somewhere where the existing neighborhood was already developed and maybe those neighbors don't want more development near them, they don't want the infill, that this would give the commission the option and to work with the developer and the neighbors to create more of a buffer to ensure that there's some open space provided, but still get in the development that we want to see in Juneau.
Just to be clear, so a developer could use the existing condominium laws and develop the way they would today, regardless of whether this passes or doesn't pass. They would be able to use current law, and if it passes, like it's written, they would also, if they chose to, be able to use this.
Correct.
So this is not taking away anything that exists regarding condominium development.
Correct. Okay. And to be clear, I believe it was a question raised earlier or statement by Mr. Harris that the city and borough doesn't regulate condominiums. There is state law for condominiums. However, we regulate development. And so whether you're doing a tool shed on your property or a single family home or a multifamily development, you come through the CBJ for your permits. And so, yes, if you wanted to do the traditional route, it would either be a minor development with a building permit or a major development would go through a conditional use permit.
So same thing with the site condos or the detached condos. Whatever laws exist now, they could continue to be used.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Bryson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Director McLean, listening to some of the concerns that the development groups have, provided if the Assembly were to table this ordinance to give additional time, would there be additional language as you were listening to their testimony? Were there things that you could omit or include into the ARS ordinance that would maybe alleviate some of the developers' concerns? How can we make this smoother for the people that are actually going to be utilizing this program?
Sure. I believe what I heard, and if I missed something, please correct me, but other than the condominiums, I believe the developers that spoke this evening were in favor of the ordinance itself. And so other than striking the condominium as one of the options, they didn't seem to have concerns with the ordinance itself. And my recommendation, if that's truly a concern, is that rather than tabling this ordinance indefinitely, would be to maybe strike the condominium tonight, and then once the appeal is over and complete, if it should be added back in, we can always come back and add it back in, and if you prefer to keep it out, then we can keep it out. But I would prefer to see the ordinance continue and at least get on the books as an option for all the other types of development, excluding the condominiums.
Follow up?
Sure.
So the site condos, if we struck the condominium from that, would that also remove the site condominium component as well?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Director.
Mm-hmm. Ms. Hale, did you have a question?
Yes, I did. It's a question about the affordability question that Mr. Edwardson raised. He was asking our prior speaker if the site condos, if she considered those affordable housing. And part of what my understanding as we've been looking at this alternative residential subdivisions is that it would likely create more options for more affordable housing. Do you see a real difference between those two, this idea of the site condo? Do you think that there would be more affordable housing options via this alternative residential subdivision, or is it just really sort of a matter of the individual developer and how they're developing their project?
I think it would most probably depend on the developer, although the alternative residential subdivision ordinance, I think one benefit, and I think Mr. Edwardson asked about this previously, is that it would work for an individual, a property owner who is not a developer, and it gives them the ability to leverage the land that they may own if it fits into this criteria and has the minimum lot size, and they can make it work. So it's not just about the larger developers. I think it's really important to remember that it's about the individual property owners and the opportunities that it would open for them as well to do smaller development in Juneau. And that's really what's, for the most part, left anyway. We have a lot of that infill development and those lot sizes that aren't quite big enough for a larger subdivision, and this would kind of, that this would fit that niche.
Thank you.
Okay, Ms. Treem.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So I get what you're saying, that this ordinance doesn't regulate the condominium ownership structure like Alaska statute does. It regulates the development of those condos. So if we, and I think you might have just answered this for Mr. Bryson, but I'm going to phrase it maybe a little differently. If we strike the language about condominiums in this ordinance, does that mean that condominiums cannot be built under this ordinance?
I'll defer to the attorney on this one.
through Madam Mayor, the short answer is no. There seems to be some confusion in the group tonight, and I want to point out a couple items here. The first is the trigger for this ordinance, and that's on page 2 of the ordinance. Under application, so 49.15.9.10, this new ordinance would only apply if there's a subdivision that creates super small lots. That's it. It doesn't apply if somebody's trying to build a condominium without a subdivision. This only applies when there is a subdivision in which they're creating super small lots compared to our traditional code. So that's a big point. As Director McLean described, if somebody wants to build a condominium, they can build condominiums under the current code. To answer Ms. Gladyszewski's question, they could also choose to use this code and not build a condominium. The condominium is on page 1 of the ordinance, doesn't have any significant legal effect. It's there to give the public notice that this applies if you're subdividing and you are also creating a condominium. And the trigger here is the subdivision that's the critical part. The condominium is not the relevant part.
Can I ask a follow-up? So if we strike any language about condominiums in this ordinance and you want to subdivide with super tiny lots and have a condominium ownership structure, would that be allowed?
You would still have to go through this ordinance to go through the subdivision process. This ordinance would allow you to do your subdivision. If you later want to do a condominium, you could do so.
Okay, Mr. Keel.
Also to the city attorney then, how then do the bonuses apply or not apply with regard to condominiums?
Mr. Attorney?
It depends on the development as it comes in. So if somebody is proposing to do a large development and put it into condominiums, that's fine, and they are eligible for the bonus provisions that are applicable. If somebody is proposing to do a large development without a condominium, they're still eligible for the bonuses that apply. So the condominium is not the issue here. The issue is subdivision.
I do because I need you to maybe track me here. If the trigger for this ordinance, which includes the bonuses, is subdivision, a condominium without subdivision can't get the bonuses, correct or incorrect?
A condominium without a subdivision would not be eligible for this ordinance.
As currently written?
Correct.
Question mark? Thank you.
Okay, Ms. Blaschett.
So back to the, there's some talk about removing condos from this ordinance. I do not understand the benefit of that regarding fear of losing what currently exists. Right now, people can develop a condo after, like as they do right now, and after the passage of this ordinance with this language, they can continue to do the same practice. It doesn't affect that practice at all. The effect of taking condos out of here, I don't understand why, what benefit that is to current developers taking condos out of here. Mr. Palmer?
I don't know what the benefit would be.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Mr. Palmer?
Thank you. I don't know what the benefit would be.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Edwardson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. And I don't know who this one's to. I guess I'm concerned because the people who build houses seem to think that there's a problem, and they seem to think that it's confusing. And, you know, not being in that situation, but being in situations where you're trying to figure out the big meanings of small words with a bunch of lawyers can get really expensive. So is it confusing? Should it be rewritten to be a little bit clearer, or is somebody just wrong? I mean, is there an impasse and people are just wrong?
I believe that there may be some misinformation that's been out there, and it's a little confusing to hear tonight because myself and the chief housing officer did go to a builders association meeting. We spoke with them. They invited us. We met with them, answered all their questions. I thought we had a very productive meeting. We also went to the Affordable Housing Commission. Ms. Dream was there that evening, answered a lot of questions from several developers, and also had commission meetings as well, which we had a developer or two at, who also spoke on it and spoke in favor of it. And they were ones that had been involved throughout Title 49 and checked in kind of throughout the process, and I think took the time to really look through it and understand it and asked great questions. The commission made some minor revisions based on the input from those that did speak at the Planning Commission meeting. And so really I think it's just communication, and I'm certainly willing to meet with the developers and talk with them. I think that's a great opportunity and something that we need to improve on at community development. But that said, I think the ordinance is well written. I think it's something that we need in the community. Infill development is pretty much where we're at now, and this ordinance gets us there.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Manager.
Madam Mayor, so I would say that the commission and staff have worked very hard on this ordinance to provide another option for developers. And the fundamental issue for me in hearing this discussion is nobody would be required to use this ordinance. It is purely another development option. It does not limit the ones that exist outside of it, and nobody would be required to use it. It's another choice. And as Ms. McLean noted, our land is scarce and our land is difficult, and the commission and staff have attempted to tailor this to our more difficult circumstances. That would be the comment that I had to offer.
Okay, Ms. Treen.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Director McLean, in addition to the three Committee of the Whole meetings where we've discussed this topic, do you know how many times it came up in front of the Planning Commission and Title 49 Committee?
I believe the Planning Commission had one public hearing. They had, I think, at least two, if not three, Committee of the Whole meetings. And I believe the Title 49 committee met at least five times.
Thank you.
Mr. Keel?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Director, I'm with you on the infill development, and you know, for me, I think one of the greatest potential benefits to the community of this approach is those density bonuses. So I guess I have to turn to the city attorney, though. If the density of bonuses are available only using this subdivision method and they're not available to a condo development that looks the same on the ground, do we run afoul of this state law that Mr. Harris handed us a copy of? Are we, in fact, imposing requirements on a condo development that we're not imposing on a physically identical form of ownership?
No.
Can you explain more?
Sure. So this ordinance allows for density bonuses. Our current code, Title 49, has some density bonuses, but they're really cumbersome. The density bonuses here are, a more simple approach and a simple path to use them. So they're an option for anybody that uses this type of alternative residential subdivision, whether it's a condominium or a non-condominium.
You look like you need a follow-up, Mr. Keel. Or another way of explaining it, perhaps?
Yeah. We have Mr. Palmer described two ways in which a condo might be built using this ordinance or not. One is eligible for the bonuses, one is not. There's a conversation tonight about potentially removing any mention of condos from this ordinance. So if there's a situation in which you cannot get the bonuses, are we potentially making that worse if we take condos out of here with regard to the state law that says you can't put a tougher restriction on condos?
So I'm not aware of anything in this code that puts a tougher restriction on condominiums. Condominiums are treated just like every other form of ownership under this code that's being proposed by staff. So if a condominium wants to make itself available to use the density bonuses through the development plan, they sure can. But they have to bring it in through the initial application.
Okay, thank you.
Any more questions? Ms. Clashaw?
So just to be stated clearly, the allegation or the thought that this ordinance is illegal, you say what to?
This ordinance, from everything I've read right now and what's in front of me, appears to be a constitutional ordinance.
Thank you.
Any other questions? I have a quick question. What's the difference between a condominium and a common interest community?
I will take that.
Thank you.
The Alaska had a common interest community statute. I don't remember what year it stopped applying to new development. In general, the condominiums are the new phrase, the new term, and there's a new ordinance, or excuse me, a new statute that specifically authorizes those. So there may be some property that has development rights under the old state law that this would allow, but it doesn't. It's not likely that will be triggered.
Mr. Bryson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I have a question for Attorney Palmer. It had been mentioned that or requested that we table this ordinance until the completion of an appeal that is before us. How could the appeal impact if we were to pass this ordinance tonight Could the decision from the appeal have an impact on the execution of this ordinance? I wonder if I'm asking the correct question here. Is the appeal going to mess it up if the appeal does not coincide with what we've put in the ordinance?
I do not believe there is a there is an effect on the appeal on this ordinance. There could be an effect on this ordinance for other new developments, and I'm not going to get into any specifics facts for an appeal because I think that needs to be dealt with through the appeal process.
Okay. I just have one more question for the director. So if we were to take condominiums out of this ordinance, because as you suggested, if we take that out, at least this will help for those right now, and we can look after talking to the building community to see if it should come back in. I'm not looking for the right word. It's probably not acceptable to you, but can you live with that for now? Or does it make that big a difference, I guess, is the question. Go ahead, Mr. Attorney.
So I want to refer back the assembly to a memo that was written on November 9th, 2018. I believe this was to the committee of the whole. And last paragraph on there addressed this question, and I'll read it for you because I think it provides some context. The Assembly, like the Planning Commission, received public comments regarding the effect of this ordinance on condominiums. Some comments have requested that the last phrase, in quote, including condominium and other common interest communities, quote, be deleted. While that phrase can be deleted without affecting this ordinance, that phrase was specifically included to give public notice that the ordinance regulates subdivisions regardless of the form of ownership, which is consistent with state law, Alaska Statute 3408-730. So you have the discretion to eliminate it, but I think it may actually invite some confusion, and I think it may actually invite some further disputes. So that's why it was included in there to provide that public notice. But if it's deleted, it doesn't change. It doesn't have any negative effects on the ordinance.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Attorney. All right. Ms. Blaschef,
ready for a motion? I would move Ordinance 2018-41C, and I would speak to that motion. I think this has gone through a lot of review. I personally don't understand why we would take condos out. It is a form of ownership. It applies to all forms of ownership. If no one wants to use it, they don't have to use it. They can continue to use the current laws to develop their... The whole point of this is to give more options, not fewer. If more outreach needs to happen to the building community, or if this needs to be amended in the future, or even immediately, that would be all right with me, but we've talked about this for a long time, and we've been trying to get more ways for people to develop land in Juneau, our scarce land, infill development, and I think this is a tool that will be useful to the building community.
All right, we've heard the motion. Are there any objections to the motion? Mr. Bryson, do you want to speak to your objection?
Madam Mayor, I was wondering the exact terminology I need to use. I wanted to make an amendment to that motion, striking the condominium phrase from the original motion.
Okay. So the process would be, it would be a friendly motion amendment, which Ms. Glashefty would accept. Or not? Would you accept that?
No, I would like to vote on Mr. Bryson's motion.
So then that's an amendment. So do you have that, Madam Clerk?
So the amendment, as noted in this November 9th, 2018 memo to the Assembly Committee of the Whole, reads to strike including condominium or other common interest communities from the ordinance under 4915-900.
Okay, do we have any objections to the amendment?
Okay.
Mr. Jones, you want to speak to your objection?
No.
All right. Madam. Oh, sorry. Mr. Keel, sorry. Okay.
Madam Mayor, question as to whether that even accomplishes the desire. The preceding phrases refer to less than fee simple ownership. Would that also describe a condominium?
It could describe a condominium. This is why this phrase could be deleted, but it does not affect the ordinance because this ordinance will continue to apply to condominiums if somebody presents an application with a development, including a condominium form of ownership that they want to subdivide into unit lots.
I am objecting to the understanding of this. So we were talking about just removing language on line 23 and 24 of page 1 and not removing any other language. And so you would say you would still be able to use this for condominiums even if we said this or didn't say it?
Correct.
That's what you just said.
Correct.
I understand you.
Yes.
Okay,
we have a motion for amendment, and we have objection. Madam Clerk, would you call roll, please?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Mr. Bryson?
Yes.
Mr. Edwardson?
Yes.
Ms. Gladyszewski?
No.
Ms. Hale?
No.
Mr. Jones?
No.
Mr. Keel?
No.
Ms. Treem?
No.
Ms. Becker?
No.
Mayor Weldon?
No.
Motion failed 7-2.
Okay, that brings us back to the original motion. Let's state that for entertainment.
The original motion is to adopt Ordinance 2018-41, Version C.
All right, do we have an objection to the motion? Seeing, hearing none, the motion passes.
Thank you.
Okay, I think this would be a good time to take a break.
Thank you.
Let's be back at 25 after, please.
Support comes from Chef Steph, selling homemade treats like salted licorice, granola, and shortbreads, including gluten-free options. Available at Juno Artist Gallery and online at chefsteph.com.
The doctor says my lungs started shutting down. I said it's hardened just like a lump of coal.
Thousands of American coal miners are dying from a disease caused by toxic dust. The government could have stopped it, but they didn't.
It's a death sentence.
There's no cure for it.
And knowing that that's coming to you, it's pretty hard to take.
An NPR and Frontline investigation. That's tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Every weekday at 4 a.m. on KTOO.
You're tuned to KTOO Juno at 104.3, and you have been listening to the live broadcast of the CBJ Assembly meeting. They are currently on a short break. We'll be back at 25 after 8. Tonight, showers likely and cloudy with a low around 36. Tomorrow, showers likely and then rain, high near 39. Wednesday, showers. And Thursday, snow showers likely. Friday and Friday night, a chance of snow. And Saturday and Sunday, snow likely.
There are still radio stations in Alaska that carry personal messages for families and friends. But statewide, that only happens once a year. I'm Steve Heimel. Happy to be back hosting another special holiday greeting show, All Good Wishes, Alaskan to Alaskan, Tuesday on Talk of Alaska statewide.
Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. on KTOO Juno. We'll be right back.
city sidewalks, busy sidewalks, dressed in holiday style.
In the air there's a feeling of Christmas.
Children laughing, people passing, meeting smile after smile.
And on every street corner you hear
silver bells, silver bells.
It's Christmas time in the city.
Longtime support for KTOO comes from Pie in the Sky, serving downtown Juneau until this New Year's, when their storefront will be closing, located in the lobby of Canvas on Seward Street. More information by calling 523-9135.
Programming support comes from listeners like you and from the Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juneau with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with 6 cafes and drive-thru locations throughout Juneau. More at heritagecoffee.com.
Walking in a winter wonderland.
B, Madam Clerk. Madam Mayor.
I like that.
Ordinance 2018-48, an ordinance authorizing the port director to execute a lease with Harry Commercial Marine for the Ox Bay Boatyard. Mr. Mander.
This ordinance would authorize the port director to execute a lease with Harry Commercial Marine, doing business as Juno Marine Services, for the Ox Bay loading facility. Harry Commercial Marine has leased the same or similar space from the CBJ since 2008, prior to the existing lease expiring. Harry Commercial Marine recently applied to continue leasing the Ox Bay loading facility for 20 more years in two 10-year terms. An appraisal determined the fair market value of this lease to be $36,000 per year. Docks & Harbors Board approved the rental rate at its June 28 meeting and approved the terms of the proposed new lease at its August 30 regular meeting. On November 5, 2018, the Assembly authorized direct negotiations with Harry Commercial Marine. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Is there any member of the public that wants to speak on this ordinance? Hearing and seeing none, we'll bring it back to the Assembly. Mr. Bryson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move that the Assembly pass Ordinance 2018-48, authorizing Port Director to execute the lease with Harry Commercial Marine for the Ox Bay Boatyard, and I ask for unanimous consent.
Mr. Keel. I mean, sorry, Mr. Jones. He was in front of you. He moved back.
I know. He ducked real quick. I have a question I need to ask, so
all right.
I will object for a question. And this may be either to the manager or the attorney. When I was liaison to Docks and Harbors and we were going through negotiations on leases, there was some regulation or ordinance that required the reappraisal or relook at the ordinances every certain number of years. And so I was just curious, is a 20-year lease and two 10-year terms, is that set up so that this $36,000 per year is going to get adjusted at the 10th year, or is it supposed to be adjusted at the 5-year or 8-year? What specifically are the rules? Because I know we're not going to lease set a property under our current rules for 20 years at the same cost because the underlying value changes up or down.
Who's talking about Mr. Turner?
I'll start with that one. So the short answer is the lease term, although it's 10 years, the price gets adjusted every 5 years. And Docks and Harbors actually has one of the most straightforward regulations to apply that provision.
Okay. So irrespective of what is in the manager's report, this price here could change 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 15 years from now.
Correct. So it's actually, if I can give you a little assurance, on page 110 of the packet. On paragraph E, that provides that the port director will reevaluate and adjust the annual lease payment for the lease property every 5 years.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm assuming you withdraw your objection.
Absolutely. I just wanted to ask.
All right. Any other objections for the motion? Seeing and hearing none, so moved. Okay, Madam Clerk.
Ordinance 2018-49, an ordinance amending the official zoning map to rezone Lot 3, Block A, Sherwood Estates, located at 2500 Sherwood Lane, from industrial to light commercial.
Mr. Mander.
Rezones are governed by 4975-110 to 130. The owner of 2500 Sherwood Lane timely applied to request a rezone of a 5-acre parcel from industrial to light commercial. Community development staff reviewed the application, held a neighborhood meeting, and ultimately recommended to deny the proposed rezone. Staff primarily based its denial on its analysis that the residential and non-residential uses allowed in light commercial did not substantially conform to the heavy industrial designation of the comprehensive plan. On October 23, 2018, the Planning Commission disagreed with staff. The Planning Commission discussed whether a comprehensive plan map amendment was necessary first, but the Planning Commission ultimately decided to recommend the rezone. The Planning Commission's analysis is summarized in the whereas clauses of this ordinance. The Assembly Committee of the Whole discussed this matter at its meeting on November 19, 2018, and recommended not to adopt the ordinance. In accordance with the Committee of the Whole recommendation, I recommended the Assembly not adopt this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Ms. Hale, you want to tackle this one?
Are there members of the public that want to speak to this?
Oh, thank you. Are there any members of the public that want to speak to this one? Seeing and hearing none. Ms. Hale.
It has to be moved in the positive.
It has to be moved in the positive, and you can't object to it.
I can object after I move it in the positive.
Yeah. or you can state that you wish to approve it and recommend that we vote no.
I move that we adopt this ordinance, and I want to discuss it, but I don't know quite how to do that. So thank you, Madam Mayor.
I will object so she can discuss.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Jones. Appreciate that.
Thank you. We have received an email on this, I believe, today with some additional information and with a picture of the property. And I've also discussed this property with other people who are looking to purchase industrial land in the area. And it just helped clarify my thinking. With that salmon stream running through this property, it really does create a very difficult area for an industrial development. So it just gave me pause. Thank you.
Okay. We have heard the motion. Are there objections to the motion? Okay, Mr. Jones, do you need to speak to your objection?
No, I think I needed to object so we could take a vote because I intend to vote no.
Okay, Ms. Glashefsey?
No need to speak anything,
okay.
Ms.
With
Mayor.
That being said, we have objection. Madam Clerk, would you call roll, please?
On the motion to adopt Ordinance 2018-49, Ms. Hale?
Yes.
Ms. Gladyszewski?
No.
Mr. Edwardson?
No.
Mr. Bryson?
Yes.
Ms. Becker?
No.
Mr. Jones?
No.
Mr. Keel?
No.
Ms. Treem?
No.
Mayor Weldon?
No.
Motion fails 2-7.
All right, moving on to item D, Madam Clerk.
Ordinance 2018-50, an ordinance approving a land trade between the city and borough and Allen and Ellen Rogers for properties located on the southern end of the Mendenhall Peninsula.
Mr. Mann.
This ordinance would authorize the city manager to execute a land exchange. The Rogers family owns a lot next to CBJ Park property on the southern end of Mendenhall Peninsula. Rogers applied for a land exchange so that the Rogers could build an accessible home on the upland part of their lot, and in exchange, the Rogers would convey to the CBJ property of equal value. The property would be added to the park and was determined by appraisal to be 2.5 times more valuable than the upland property. Thus, approximately 14,225 square feet of CBJ upland property would be traded for approximately 6,164 square feet of property owned by the Rogers. The Assembly agreed to the concept at its June 4, 2018 meeting and directed the manager to negotiate terms for the land trade. Parks and Rec Advisory Committee, the Lands Committee, and Planning Commission have all reviewed the proposed land exchange and recommended approval. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Is there any member of the public that would like to speak to this ordinance? Seeing and hearing none, we'll bring it back to the Assembly. Ms. Treem.
I move that the Assembly adopt Ordinance 2018-50.
And ask for
a unanimous consent.
Any objections? Seeing and hearing none, motion passed. Okay, that brings us to item E, Madam Clerk.
Ordinance 2018-11R. An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of up to $205,000 as funding for the Community Development Department, grant funding provided by the United States Department of Homeland Security, Federal Emergency Management Agency, Fiscal Year 18 Cooperating Technical Partners Program.
Mr. Manager.
City and Borough has been awarded up to $205,000 by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, to update information on the landslide and avalanche risk in Juneau. The grant includes $180,000 for a study and $25,000 to develop policy recommendations. The grant will be implemented through two contracts issued following a bidding process. The project will be completed over a period of 4 years. No additional CBJ funds are required. Adoption of this ordinance authorizes the CBJ to accept the grant funds. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Is there any member of the public that would like to speak to this ordinance? Seeing and hearing none. Mr. Matisse is in the audience. Do we have any questions for Mr. Matisse on this? Seeing and hearing none. Mr. Edwardson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move that the Assembly adopt Ordinance 2018-11R, and I recommend unanimous consent.
Thank you, Mr. Edwardson. Any objections? Seeing and hearing none, motion passes. Item F, Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Ordinance 2018-11S. An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $11 million as funding for the downtown waterfront improvement project, funding provided by cruise passenger vessel excise tax, port development fees, marine passenger fees funds fund balance, and dock funds fund balance.
All right, who's tackling this, Mr. Manager?
Madam Mayor, as I recommended under the consent agenda, I'm recommending that this ordinance, the public hearing be postponed until the second Assembly meeting in January. This is related to the waterfront development project.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Manager. Is there any member of the public that wants to speak to this item? So we'll look to the Assembly. Are we okay with
yep.
Oops. Mr. Quayle.
I don't know if it's in the right category, but marine. Both the Tarbers and the city have to work together on this. Okay.
Mr. Quayle, remember to state your name, please.
William Quayle, 415 Willoughby, number 305. It should be put on the back burner, okay, that they link the B dock with the HA dock. It should be on first priority, okay? I mean, no matter, I don't care how you figure out how you can do it, all right? I had several people who've been working during the summer. They wished they had it. And you would save a lot of people, you know, there's a lot of people just waiting in line to get on the bus, all right? And there are a lot of people that just go walk to the end of the seawalk, and they think they see their ship, and they think they can walk to it, and it's like going to A to B to C to D, you know. And having that bridge going across would definitely be a help. And you should put the bet on the back burner to make sure that happens.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Crail. Any questions for Mr. Crail? Thank you. All right. Okay. I believe we have to still move to postpone, so we'll bring it to Mr. Jones because he'll take us home on this one.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I would move that the Assembly postpone Ordinance 2018-11S until the second Assembly meeting in January. I believe that's, I'll leave it at that, and would ask unanimous consent.
Any objections? Seeing and hearing none, so moved. All right, this brings us to unfinished business. Any unfinished business?
No unfinished business, thank you.
All right, and that will bring us to new business. Mr. Manager.
Madam Mayor, North Douglas land disposal from applicant Thomas Doherty. The Lands and Resources Division received an application to purchase city property from Thomas Doherty, who owns the property located at 9223 North Douglas Highway. The city property has the legal description of U.S. Survey 3559, Lot 1, and consists of a very large parcel of over 1,100 acres. Mr. Doherty has requested to purchase a small fraction of the city-owned property in order to have enough square footage to subdivide his existing lot into two residential lots. Currently, the applicant's lot is 71,438 square feet, which is 512 square feet short from the minimum size needed to subdivide. The property that Mr. Doherty has requested to purchase is a small strip of city land along the back of his property. Land management plan has this property designated as retain slash dispose, which allows for this type of disposal request. CBJ 5309260, negotiated sales, leases, and exchanges states that the proposal shall be reviewed by the Assembly for a determination of whether the proposal should be further considered, and if so, whether by direct negotiation with the original proposer or by competition after an invitation for further proposals. Upon direction of the Assembly by motion, the manager may commence negotiations for the lease, sale, exchange, or other disposal of city and borough land. On November 19, 2018, the Lands Committee unanimously passed a motion of support to the Assembly to work with the original applicant and dispose of roughly 530 square feet of city property. I request a motion of support to enter into direct negotiations with Mr. Doherty, the original applicant, for the disposal of a fraction of U.S. Survey 3559.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Manager. Any member of the public want to speak to this one? Okay, seeing and hearing none, we'll bring it back to the Assembly. Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move that the Assembly direct the manager to enter into negotiations with the original applicant for the disposal of a fraction of USS 3559. And I ask unanimous consent.
Any objections? Seeing and hearing none, so moved. Okay, we're going to convene out as Assembly and convene back in as the Board of Equalization. So, Mr. Attorney.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The Assembly has convened as the Board of Equalization for the purposes of holding public hearings on the assessment rolls and separate assessments appearing for Local Improvement District LID 62 and LID 97. At the conclusion of the hearing, the Board of Equalization should recommend to the Assembly that it approve the assessment rolls with any revisions or corrections recommended by the Board. The Board will then adjourn and the Assembly will reconvene. The Assembly should consider Resolution 2841 and 2842, which approve the rolls, fix the time and method of payment, set the date for levy, and fix the time and of delinquencies and penalties and interests under new business. I can put that into English if that is necessary.
They look like they understand lawyers speak today. So, okay. So item C, I believe we'll start with Madam Clerk. Is that correct to read that?
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. Resolution 2842, a resolution confirming the assessment roll for Local Improvement District number 97 that installed a municipal water system within the public roads of the Eagles Edge subdivision in the Lemon Creek area, fixing the time and method of payment assessments, set setting the date of levy and fixing the time of delinquency and penalties and interest.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. And this is going to Mr. Manager.
This resolution would confirm the assessment role for Local Improvement District, LID, number 97, which installed a municipal water system within the public roads of the Eagles Edge subdivision. This LID was created by Ordinance 2013-07, which proposed an assessment of $3,300 per lot. As presented in this resolution, each lot in the proposed assessment roll would be assessed $3,300. Article 4 of CBJ 1510 governs this assessment roll process. Notices were published in the newspaper and mailed to residents in the LID area, so they would have the opportunity to make their views known to the Assembly at tonight's hearing. For the purpose of this hearing, the Assembly sits as a Board of Equalization to confirm the assessment roll. After hearing all objections and suggestions, the Assembly may correct, revise, raise, lower, change the roll, or set aside the roll and order the remaking of the assessment. Staff recommends the Assembly remove one parcel from the assessment roll. 1510-120A prohibits a lot from being assessed if the lot did not receive any benefits from the LID. The parcel requested to be removed is the playground and basketball parcel owned by the Eagles Edge Homeowners Association, which did not have water or sewer services to the parcel and was not benefited by this LID. I recommend the removal of parcel number 5B13011701 60, owner Eagles Edge Homeowners Association, in the amount of $3,300 reduced to zero. The revised assessment roll total would be $290,400. I recommend the amendment of the roll and adoption of the resolution.
All right, and we talked about this earlier, so Ms. Bladyshevsky, you want to do your removal?
Sure. Since we're the Board of Equalization, I would recommend that the Board remove parcel 5B13011701 60 from the assessment rolls.
Madam Mayor, can we ask if there's any public comment on this one?
Oh, sorry. Any public comment on this one? I thought the public comment came after this one, so sorry. Hearing and seeing none?
I move what I just said. And then my understanding is we would reconvene at the Assembly to move the ordinance.
Correct.
Okay. And I ask for unanimous consent.
So with the removal of that piece of property, that's the motion before you. Any objections? Seeing and hearing none, that parcel is removed. Okay. All right. And then we just move on to item D, right? Correct?
Correct.
Sorry.
And so
forgive us for this new...
So I would recommend having the Board of Equalization hold its hearing on item D and then reconvening as the Assembly to then adopt or decide whether to adopt the resolutions.
Okay. Correct. Okay. Item D. Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Resolution 2841. A resolution confirming the assessment roll for Local Improvement District number 62 that constructed improvements to the road base, drainage, pavement, and sidewalks within the public roads of the McGinnis subdivision in the Back Loop Road area, fixing the time and method of payment assessments, setting the date of levy, and fixing the time of delinquency and penalties and interest.
Okay. Mr. Manager.
This resolution would confirm the assessment roll for LID 62, which constructed improvements to the road base, drainage, pavement, and sidewalks within the public roads of the McGinnis subdivision area. This LID was created by Ordinance 2015-28, which proposed an assessment of $3,000 for each parcel in the Marine Edge subdivision and $4,000 for each parcel in the LID but outside the Marine Edge subdivision. As presented in this resolution, the lots in the proposed assessment roll would be assessed the same amount as estimated in Ordinance 2015-28. Article 4 of 1510 governs this assessment roll process. Notices were published in the newspaper and mailed to residents in the LID area so they would have an opportunity to make their views known to the Assembly at tonight's hearing. For the purpose of this hearing, the Assembly sits as a Board of Equalization to confirm the assessment rule. After hearing all objections and suggestions, the Assembly may correct, revise, raise, lower, change the roll, or set aside the roll and order the remaking of the assessment. Staff recommends 3 assessment rule changes due to 2 property subdivisions and a lot consolidation. CBA 1510-120B requires the manager to establish an equitable method of assessing property that is subdivided or consolidated during the pendency of the LID. Specific changes being requested are detailed herein. First, add 2 properties to the LID assessment rule to be assessed at $4,000 each. These properties were created by property subdivisions after LID 62 was formed. First parcel would be 4B26-011-00012, owner of record Mark W. Pinsikowski and Jennifer S. Urban, assessment of $4,000, street address 4945 Steelhead. And parcel number 4B26-011-00082, owner High S. Kim, and the assessment of $4,000, street address 4947 Hummingbird. I recommend you add these properties to the roll, and then I'll come back with the other one.
Okay. Ms. Klaushewski.
Excuse me.
Any member of the public wish to speak to this one?
I would move that the Board of Equalization add parcels 4B26011-00012 and 4B26011-00082 to the assessment rolls for LID 62, and I ask unanimous consent.
Any objections? Hearing and seeing none. Mr. Manager.
Thank you. I would also recommend the removal of a property from the assessment roll with an initial assessment of $4,000. This property was consolidated into an adjacent property at 4950 Steelhead. This parcel to be removed, the parcel number 4B26-011-00040, owner of record Linda C. Kodrlik, removing the assessment of $4,000. And it no longer has a street address as it was consolidated into 4950 Steelhead.
All right, thank you, Mr. Manager. Ms. Glass, any members of the public wish to speak to this one?
No. I would move that the Board of Equalization remove parcel 4B26011-00040 from the assessment rolls for LID 62, and I would ask unanimous consent.
Any objections? Seeing, hearing, none, so moved. Okay.
And Madam Mayor, just for the record, I would note that these changes result in a revised assessment roll total of $476,000. And after reconvening, I recommend adoption of this resolution.
All right. So can we come out of the Board of Equalization? Do we want to address this one?
Sure. It's up to you.
So just for the public record, we had a letter from Reach Incorporated asking us to remove their property from LID number 62. Can you address that, Mr. Attorney?
Sure. We have a code section that directly governs this, and it's CBJ 1510-110, and it describes that all property, including property that's exempt from taxation, shall be liable for the cost of a local improvement unless specifically exempted by state or federal law. I do not know of any specific exemption for a nonprofit to be exempt from this LID.
Okay, thank you. Any more needed on that, or everybody? Okay. So we will reconvene. We will remove ourselves from the Board of Equalization and reconvene as the Assembly. Okay. With that, Ms. Becker, do you want to bring those motions or adopt those motions, please.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. During the Board of Equalization, the Assembly approved Resolution 2841, added properties to the LID assessment roll to be assessed at $4,000. With that was two properties, 4B26011000012 and 4B26011000082. And we removed a parcel 4B26011000040, reassessing that property from $4,000 to $476,000. And I recommend this adoption of this resolution as presented to the Board of Equalization.
Okay, and do you want to do the other one too?
The resolution.
Oh, I forgot.
We can do them both.
I'm sorry. Yes.
Madam Mayor, can we take them one at a time?
Excuse me, we've been asked to take them one at a time, so that will work. So
I did say that, didn't I?
Yeah. So Resolution 2841, which we added one and or added two and removed one. You have a motion before you. Do you have any objections? Seeing and hearing none, Resolution 2841 is adopted. All right, Resolution 2842. Ms. Becker, you want to bring that to our attention?
The Assembly passed Resolution 2842, confirming the assessment roll for LID number 97. I move that the Board of Equalization I move the Assembly approve that action and ask for unanimous consent.
All right, you've heard the motion. Are there any objections?
Just for clarification, we did remove the one parcel from this one. Is that correct?
Correct.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We added two and removed one.
Not from this one.
I did them backwards. Okay. Yeah. Yep.
They were out of order in our thing. So,
I see. Thank you.
Okay. Any objections? Hearing none, so moved. So that brings us to staff report.
No staff report. Thank you.
All right. That brings us to mayor's report then. All right. It's been a busy month. I'm sure it has been for everybody. First of all, happy holidays and happy new year for everyone, since we'll have a little bit of a break, which will be earned after having three very late nights of the Assembly last week, so we broke in the new members quite well last week. So we apologize to any of you one. So I talked with the female Cub Scouts, and that was a lot of fun, along with Mr. Keel and Ms. Treem. So we also met, the staff and I met with the General Legislative Delegation, and Mr. Keel was there wearing a different hat. I attended the Kensington Advisory Group and the Capital Committee. We have also had our retreat since our last Assembly meeting, and our goals will finalize at the last Committee of the Whole. And thanks again for everyone for being there, participating, and thanks to all the staff for making that happen. The Executive Council of the Tlingit Haida invited us for lunch, so I went to lunch. I attended First Friday, and that was a lot of fun, and we certainly enjoyed the closing of Front Street, and it was just a great time, and yes, I spent some money. So I also rang the bell for Salvation Army for their annual drive. I attended the Chief Petty Officer's annual Senior Citizen Dinner, and it was a very good dinner. And I was able to, the City Manager and I and his mother were able to talk with Governor Dunleavy at his open house and welcomed him to Juneau. We also met with the Alaska Marine Highway System folks about the two new ferries and possible crew quarters upgrade. I attended, along with other members of the Assembly, the Capital City Fire Rescue Banquet and Awards Ceremony this Saturday, and that was also good food and great entertainment. Rory and I talked with Pete Caron this morning. And I also spoke at the Dare graduation today at Riverbend School. and attended the JDHS art show today. And that's pretty much my activities, although we do have one activity. This is a certificate of appreciation, the City and Borough of Juneau Certificate of Appreciation for Duncan Rory Watt. Is recognized for 25 years of dedicated service to the people of Juneau, Alaska's capital city.
Do the walk, yeah.
Congratulations. Thank you for your... That's remarkable.
That's remarkable.
One more to go.
25. Holy cannoli.
Way to go, sir.
Come on, dude. Do the first walk.
Come on, dude.
You missed one.
Yes, 25 years is certainly something, so we totally appreciate your years of service. So, with that being said... We started with you last time, Mr. Bryson. We'll start with Ms. Blaschak.
All right. Well, we had a Committee of the Whole meeting on December 10th. We talked about a number of the items that actually were on our agenda today, or the ordinance about the alternative residential subdivisions, which was our second time we talked about that, the archipelago area, also on our agenda soon. We heard a report from Tom Matisse, the emergency manager, regarding emergency planning after the Anchorage earthquake. We wanted to make sure we got the emergency planner in front of us to show all the work he and all the people in the city do every day regarding planning for such emergencies. So that was very comforting, and we learned about what the Assembly's roles were in such an emergency. And then, as the mayor said, we finalized our goals. We also heard a litigation update. So that was our last meeting, and that's my only report. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Blaschak. Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The Lands Committee did not have a meeting at the last date. They were assigned last Monday. We were so efficient. We finished all of our topics in the Assembly. Worked on all of them, so we'll come up with another list for next year. The chamber continues to meet on Thursday. This Thursday will be the last chamber lunch at the Moose, and then we'll move downtown to the hangar for legislative sessions. I guess that's next year. We'll start on that too. Docks and Harbors has a meeting this Thursday. Their regular board meeting. I met with a representative from JAC, went to the Assembly retreat, and we did some correcting and some fixing after that, which was, I think we've done a good job getting that completed. The Alaska Committee continues to work on the legislative reception and wants to make sure all of you are invited to come and that you get to it on January 16th, right?
Yep,
that's it.
All right, thank you, Ms. Becker. Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The Finance Committee met this past Wednesday, part of that marathon string of meetings you mentioned. We reviewed the old revolving loan fund agreement with the Juneau Economic Development Council. They were using to, under which they were operating with some old federal funds as a revolving loan fund, and directed the manager to take whatever steps are necessary to give the JEDC more flexibility with those funds and continue their good work in that arena. We reviewed two potential changes to the senior sales tax exemption. The committee had a lot of questions about those and got information from staff. We also received an extensive update on the CBJ's financial position and major revenues partway through the fiscal year here, and got an overview of some of the collective bargaining issues coming up, as well as some innovative ideas with the potential to help fund a senior assisted living project. Finally, the Finance Committee on Wednesday had an executive session on employee compensation negotiations. Switching to reports and comments and questions, you mentioned a number of the meetings I've been to in the last couple of weeks. Rather than repeat them, I'll just hit a couple of others. The Floyd Dryden Outdoor Skills Program has had a number of volunteers both in the school over the course of the semester and this past week out at the Hunter Ed facility. That is a tremendous cooperation between the school district, the Department of Fish and Game, the Forest Service, and a huge array of community volunteers. A whole lot of people help out with that. It is a tremendous safety program and an opportunity to bring the community into our schools. It's a great partnership. And so I'm very proud that that went well yet again this year. also had the opportunity to come into a couple of classrooms over the last couple of weeks. Got to visit the a Montessori kindergarten classroom and talk to them about Hanukkah. Also got to go to a high school government class and talk about political parties. Actually, that's what we were scheduled for, but since only one party showed up, we ended up talking about the nature of government much more generally, which was more fun anyway. And then finally, I understand there's some sort of religious holiday a week from Tuesday, and so I hope everybody enjoys that.
Thank you, Mr. Keel. Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Public Works and Facilities Committee met last week, and one of the issues, the remodel of the exit lanes at the airport, that ordinance was introduced tonight. We had a discussion about and a resolution be coming forward for the assembly to support a grant request to the Alaska Department of Transportation for Brotherhood Bridge trail repair and a bridge replacement over Montana Creek. What we learned from that and what you'll see when that comes forward is that that grant program had been that the money would come to us, we would administer the grant, and then we would ask for reimbursement. It's my understanding now that if we submit the grant and if they approve it, they will run the contract, they will do the work, and they will pay the contractor. And it's sort of, we apply for it, but after that, it's sort of out of our hands. It's a very strange way. The Assembly Child Care Committee has met three times in the last month. We've had some really good discussions, and we have a working problem statement. We have some structure around some testimony from invited people to provide education and information. Our next meetings are January 11th and January 25th. It's Fridays, about 12:15. They go for about an hour and a half. There is a website up under the Assembly's committees if you want to look at a lot of the material there. Robert Barr has been helping us out, and he does have that there. On December 11th, I attended the work session of the Juneau School Board, the purpose of that work session was for them to begin to work on the superintendent candidate profile, taking all of the information they had gotten from the three public meetings they had held here, as well as using a Survey Monkey, but something very similar. I found pretty fascinating the way it was presented. They got, I think it was close to 150 comments off that. They basically established then at their subsequent board meeting their superintendent candidate profile. On January 8th, their next meeting, according to what they had accomplished that night, was they will either vote to name an interim superintendent as a permanent superintendent. They will vote to begin a national search with a firm to conduct outreach. They will vote to either conduct a national search using the Association of School Boards, or they will vote to conduct internal search by posting the position and advertising the vacancy. I have my suspicions as to what they will do, but I don't feel I should lay that out. The other thing of interest that they'll also deal with on January 8th, they had the first reading of adding a Clinkett name to Juno Douglas High School. And I must state that there is no way I can pronounce it at this time. I may by January 11th, but probably not. Their next meeting is January 8th. They also have a retreat coming up on January 12th. The DBA has met since we last met. They had an update from Lori Sawa and Mike Figue on downtown Phase 3 on the streets and what that schedule will probably look like. There was also a little bit of discussion about the DOT project from the bridge to Main Street on Egan, and I'll get to that in my next comment. Part of what they talked about at that meeting is already taking place. That's Gallery Walk and Kids Day. I made it to Gallery Walk Kids Day. I was doing another kid thing. But everything I've heard is both of those were great successes. I also attended the JEDC Visitors Product Cluster. And again, they talked about the DOT project because that construction season will happen when the visitors groups are trying to get passengers from down there to down there through the construction. And what we learned at both the DBA and the Visitors Product Cluster is that that project went out to bid and it came in $6 million over their estimate. And we have no idea whether DOT is going to find the money, rebid it. And so I really haven't gotten any information from anybody as to what DOT is going to do since they're going through a large transition. I know that there's been several suggestions on where they can find the money, but I doubt that the new commissioner is willing to do that. They also got an update on the Southeast Group's report on the roadless rule. There were several questions on the CLIA lawsuit, which we did not answer, neither myself nor the Cruz people. We both played that relatively cool. And Carl Yucatel also gave an update on an RFP that he has issued to look at the infrastructure for the small cruise in the downtown harbor area. I also went out and attended the first public meeting on the Yawk Bay Rezone. It was a very packed house in the classroom. Lots of people there. I think Allison Eddins did a masterful job, given that I had attended a lot of the Yawk Bay planning and the whole thing about the planning. I've been to a lot of the meetings downtown, and I was surprised at the number of people, after 4 years, claimed ignorance of the entire process. She handled that very well. She got us through everything that she wanted to do in terms of the presentation. There were two or three members of the Planning Commission there as well, including people that were on the Planning Commission's Yawk Bay implementation group. So I think that went really well. The downtown blueprint, the first meeting of the steering committee was December 12th, and we were tied up with Mr. Keel and a very long night. The next public meeting is January 24th. It's a Thursday. It was not on the city calendar, but I understand it's probably going to be at Centennial Hall. And Ms. McLean told me today that she would get it on the calendar. However, I don't know when the next steering committee meeting is, but she assured me that that meeting will not be scheduled for any night that there's an assembly meeting, so that we may attend, which I think is something very, very important. The only other thing is I spent the last two weekends ago, I was judging the first Lego League event, which is an all-day thing on a Saturday for elementary and middle school kids. It's a blast. I suggest that any of you that were interested in doing something like that, the judging is relatively easy by comparison to some other things. The energy that those kids bring and parents around, and I know that I commented at the end that those kids will go home full of excitement, full of sugar from the candy, full of the pizza and just drive their parents nuts. I went home and took a nap. And then just this last weekend, both Friday and Saturday night, I was also a judge on the first tech challenge, which is high school kids. Much different than Lego League. They build their own robots. And that was held at Marie Drake. There were 18 teams. Teams from Juneau, Hoonah, Sitka, and three teams came down from Eagle River. Judging is much, much different on that event, and it really does take a lot of effort to go through all of that. So I thoroughly enjoyed it. I would recommend to any person on this assembly that would like to get involved in that as a judge or any activity. And I know every once in a while Brian is actually listening to the assembly meeting, so I will tell you that these were all runs, the first Lego League and the first Tech Challenge. FIRST is not just a number. FIRST is an acronym that stands for Inspiration and Recognition of Science and Technology. So, Brian, if you're listening, I got that in there. The only other comment I would make is that I hope everybody has a great holiday. I leave tomorrow afternoon for Anchorage for 3 days of marijuana control board meetings just before the holidays. So my meeting, you guys' meetings might have a break. I got three more days, but I won't be back till the 4th. But anyway, I want to wish everybody a great holidays. Hope you all have a great time with your families. And thank you all for all the gifts and thoughts and stuff that I will have to figure out a way to pack up to my car tonight. And I agree, it's been an extremely busy week. I counted it up last night when I got home about 8:45, that was the earliest on Sunday night that I'd been home since last Monday. And I had a great time at a party, so it's not too bad. But that's my very lengthy report, and I'm sorry, but that I did a lot of stuff.
It was a busy month. Thank you, Mr. Jones. Mr. Edwardson, glad to see you're feeling better.
Thank you. I was just wondering if Mr. Jones won in the Lego thing.
No, I'm a judge. I can't win anything. Although I probably ate much too much candy.
On December 12th, I was glad to represent Mayor Weldon in the assembly at a ceremony where Capital City Fire and Rescue and the Juneau Police Department signed agreements with the Army Reserve. It's called the PAYS program. Mr. Jones was there as well. What the PAYS program is an agreement between organizations, hundreds of organizations around the country, now including Juneau, that I'm not going to say reward, but recognize people who've gone through military training by providing them an opportunity, kind of a fast track to working for their organization. So say, for example, if you go through boot camp, and then you come back and you're in the Army Reserve, you could have a guaranteed interview, which getting to the interview is oftentimes the hardest part. And it also works for reserve officers who are graduating from college and getting their commission, and from people who get released from active duty. So fantastic program, and it was a pretty impressive ceremony. So I wouldn't mind doing that again. Let's see. Reports, Eagle Crest Board met on December 6th. I didn't make that. Their next meeting is January 3rd. The Local Emergency Planning Commission met. On the 12th. And they talked about their annual report, which they actually delivered to the HRC just before this meeting. In that annual report, they went over the many, many activities that they do every year to try to keep Juneau as safe as possible, as prepared as possible. And I'm not going to repeat the entire list. I think it's in everybody's package. And also, one of the things that they did bring up that I'm going to bring up here, a little plug that's probably going to be coming along here pretty soon, is they got defunded by a little bit by the Coast Guard, from what I understand. And they're probably going to be coming to the assembly looking for additional funding. They did spend some time looking for efficiencies, trying to find out new and innovative ways to carry off their preparedness weekend that's coming up. That's what the funding was for. But I will say that when I say funding, I'm talking numbers that are far smaller than we're accustomed to seeing here. And the payoff is so large that I would just like people to consider that as we move towards a possible ask. Let me see. We also discussed, and there will be a resolution coming, the LEPC is requesting the Assembly HRC, or Assembly, to add a health seat to the LEPC. And if you don't know, the LEPC has 12 seats, but there's a primary and alternate in just about every seat. So it's a big committee, a very diverse committee. And they want to add a 13th seat, basically just to add to the synergy, a health seat, somebody who is accustomed to working in the health community, has contacts in the health community, and can assist Juno that way. In addition, they want to change the name of the vulnerable population seat to the access and functional needs seat. So when that resolution comes, if the Assembly approves that, then they can change that in their bylaws. And that's just a change to reflect, you know, kind of the differences in the way that we view certain parts of the community. A lot of these seats were set up back when LEPCs were young. The idea of emergency planning has evolved, and the needs are a little bit more in focus now, and they feel that that would help. Also, there are, let's see, there's myriad seats on the LEPC that they want to get approved. And what we did is, as the HRC, just because there's two seats, or, you know, just because there's a primary and an alternate, the practice of the LEPC is if a primary seat opens, they'll move the alternate into that seat. If the alternate seat opens, they'll move somebody new. And after they make their proposal to the Assembly and the Assembly approves, it also has to be approved through the Division of Emergency Management in the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs for the state. So rather than go through each iteration, what we did and what I'm asking here is, if you've looked at the memo dated December 13th, 2018, and it's in your package, and you don't object to it, I would ask that the Assembly approve the people for these seats as listed on the memo.
Just to clarify, last question. Is that the recommendation of the HRC? That
correct.
You did that at the HRC?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
I don't object.
Any objections? Did everybody look at their packets?
Ask a question?
Sure.
Do we actually have this memo in our packet?
You should, yeah.
Mr. Edwardson?
Under the HRC tab.
Oh.
Madam Mayor?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If I might provide clarification, there was a change from the version in your paper packets. The correct version is in the online packet. I do have a copy of which the deputy clerk provided just before our meeting tonight. If you need me to read it into the record, I can.
Why don't you read it into the record? That would be great.
Okay. The Local Emergency Planning Committee has primary and alternate seats. I ask the HRC to forward the nominations of the below applicants for reappointment and or appointment to the Assembly. Please note this list is organized according to seat number, primary seats in bold, or alternate seats in regular font, with those applicants that are new to the committee and a specific seat noted in italics. Seat number 4, primary, general public seat, was formerly held by Lindsay Peterson. Destiny Sargent would be moving from the alternate seat to primary with the same term ending date of December 31st, 2020. Seat 4A, the general public alternate member seat, being vacated by Destiny Sargent moving up into the primary seat, would be replaced by Ben Murray, start date immediately and date December 31st, 2020. Seat 6, the media primary member.
These are as written in our memo, unless right. You've changed them. The rest of them, seat 6, 6A, 8, 8A, 9, 9A, 11.
8, 8A, 9, 9A, 11, and 11A. Is that how it?
We don't have 11A.
We don't have an 11A.
Okay. Do you want me to continue through the whole thing or just skip down to 11?
Let's just skip down to 11A.
11A. Okay. So, seat 11A, Venerable Population Representative seat, formerly held by Zachariah Fisher, who's moving up into the primary 11 seat. Replacing him is Paul Chisholm, and start date immediately, end date 12/31/2019.
So you're making a motion to accept these? Is that what the motion is?
Yes, Madam Mayor.
Okay. Any objections? Seeing and hearing none, so moved.
So we'll move on to Chapter 2 of 11. let's see. The Building Code Advisory Board also submitted their annual report in writing, which I think could also be in your package. The Building Code Advisory Board also has a couple of seats open. The Human Resources Committee recommends that the Assembly appoint Chris Giannotti and Doug Murray to a second term on the board or on the committee for a term beginning immediately and ending November 30th, 2021.
All right. Any objections? Seeing and hearing none. So moved.
Let's see. Juneau Human Rights Commission has a seat opened. The Human Resources Committee recommends that the Assembly appoint Ivan Bailey to the Juneau Human Rights Commission for a term beginning immediately. It's a vacant position right now and ending May 31st, 2020.
Any objections? Seeing and hearing none, so moved.
Okay. What else did I have here? Well, just to give an update, and I gave an update in the HRC as well, there really hasn't been many changes to what we talked about with the upcoming vacancy when Mr. Keel moves on to the State Senate. Where we've been advertising since November 30th. We're going to advertise until January 2nd, and we've scheduled interviews for January 10th. Let's see. As far as questions go, the mayor and I have been working on questions, but if anybody has some questions or a question or some questions that they would like to see asked for the applicants to respond in writing. Could we have those sent to the clerk's office? And then we'll take a look at those that we still haven't discussed. The mayor and I will discuss whether we want to give those when somebody applies or whether we want to give those at a certain date before, you know, to everybody who's applied, you know, after the second. So they can all have the same amount of time to answer. And that's the update for that. I did have one other thing, actually. So all these meetings, I actually lightened my load some last week by being ill for probably the most, I don't know if it was the most interviews done in one night by the Assembly, but I think it was 19. I'd like to thank Mr. Jones for chairing in my stead, but I will announce that the Assembly interviewed candidates for Bartlett Regional Hospital and appointed Kenny Solomon Gross, Lindy Jones, and Marshall Kinzorik, and then interviewed applicants for the Planning Commission and appointed Shannon Crossley, Nathaniel Dye, and Ken Alper. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Edwardson. Ms. Treem.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Excuse me, Ms. Treem. Correct. Mr. Edwardson, we missed one on the hospital board.
Planning.
And the Planning Commission.
And both.
Okay. We'll start with the Planning Commission. We need to add Deborah Johnston.
Hospital board.
To the hospital board, sorry. And for the Planning Commission, which who's the one we missed?
Travis R.
Travis.
Travis. Oh, Travis is on this one.
Sitting right here.
Sorry, Travis. You get extra credit.
That was quick, wasn't it?
Forget.
Thank you, Ms.
Oh, okay, Deborah Johnston.
There you go. Ms. Treen.
Okay, thank you, Madam Mayor. I forgot Travel Juno updates at our last assembly meeting, so I'm going to go over those really quickly. Travel Juno is undertaking a community assessment of Juno as a destination through the Destination Next program. You should have all received an email about this, so I hope that you've filled out their survey. Travel Juno is working with the Yukon Travel Industry Association to develop marketing and visitor products that pull together the Western Yukon Territory, especially Whitehorse and Southeast Alaska. And they had 175 guests at their first Friday event at the Visitor Center with carols from Perseverance Theater and letters to Santa. The Affordable Housing Commission is continuing to discuss matters of board governance and continuing the theme. The Aquatics Board has met several times to discuss board governance, including with the manager, and they have agreed upon amendments to the authorizing ordinance for the Aquatics Board, and this will come before us next month. And other events, I went to the Female Cub Scouts with Mr. Keel and Madam Mayor, and no offense to the rest of you, but that's the most adorable assembly-related business I've conducted so far. And I attended a Narcan kit building session organized by the Juno Opioid Work Group in conjunction with the state's Project Hope that convened a number of service providers to build the Narcan kits, and then they had a nice roundtable discussion about mostly their experiences with Narcan kits and handing those out to people in Juno. And that's it.
Thank you, Ms. Trinity Mazzale.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I've been to a couple of Juno Commission on Sustainability meetings. One of them, CVJ Engineering and the airport have requested an exemption from LEED certification. LEED is Leadership in Energy and Environmental Design, and basically that's just a features built in or designed into a building that save on energy and that have, it's even things like bike racks outside and that sort of thing. Because of the timing of the airport expansions and the nature of the airport building, that LEED certification has become problematic for them. So JCOS is working very closely with engineering and the airport on that exemption. I think it's really important to not just sort of grant exemptions without really making sure we're thinking about it hard, and so they're really doing that. They're taking a good look at that. The JCOS also very much appreciates the assembly setting goals of sustainability. That really made an impact that was very good for them. Spot opened up on Action Line, and so I talked with Pete Caron about what I'm doing on the assembly. That was really fun. I love that guy. He's great. Still haven't connected with Commission on Aging. Every time I'm ready, they're not, vice versa, but we'll get there. Bartlett had a very productive meeting with Bartlett, and incidentally, I had four meetings that went late last week because Bartlett was on Tuesday. So they weren't quite as late as our assembly meetings. LG Rayfeld's audit was good. The GASB 75 changes in retirement accounting really affects the bottom line at Bartlett, and they pay a lot of attention to that and are paying a lot of attention to that. But they're in the black this year, even without the rural demonstration grant. So they're watching their accounting very, very closely, and revenues exceeded expenses, so they're very pleased with that. As Mr. Edwards had said, we have several new members on the Bartlett board. One thing they're looking at and really exploring is robotic surgery, which is important for new doctors. It's also important for patients, but it's also recognized that it's important that we not invest a whole lot of money in something that may not pay for itself because we're small. So they're looking hard at that. There's been a real improvement in psychiatric staff, and the medical staff is very pleased at that. So they've kind of made some big steps there. I attended a chamber where our wonderful mayor gave an update. That was great. I also went to the governor's cookie greeting and went very early, and that was also very nice. It was nice to shake the governor's hand and remind him that I'd been before him when I was a director, so that was good. Nice connection. And I just think that I want to commend Mr. Jones on the great job he's doing with the Child Care Committee in a very short period of time. He's really been putting a lot of work into that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Hale. Mr. Bryson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. On the 27th of November, I have to go back that far, sorry, Planning Commission met. They passed a planned urban development on Douglas, the Birch Lane repavement, the Jetty Auk Bay condos. Even though they had passed that, that came back and they're going, and it got moved to the January 8th meeting. They're discussing land use code changes covering right-of-ways and temporary cul-de-sacs. They discussed their CIP priorities, and then they had a recommendation that they approved. The end of the month, I met with Director McLean, where she kind of brought me up to speed on how CDD works, and that was an incredibly eye-opening and helpful meeting. I also attended the Auk Bay zoning rezone initial meeting, not the initial, but the big public meeting with Mr. Jones and a few of the Planning Commission. The couple that was the most vocal, Bridget and Sean, they contacted me immediately to share what their concerns were for the Auk Bay. And, they want to take five zones, make it into one zone. They wanted to address parking, how it would impact the Auk Bay school, if the sewer system had the capacity for it, and police and fire capabilities there. I then met back again with Director McLean, and we started getting some of this information so that we could get some of the answers for those folks. On the 5th, JDC met. Brian Hulse is working on winter economic activity, so he's trying to bring more activities here during the winter months. They passed a resolution for a heat pump initiative to increase the use in Juneau. They're working on an angel investment program. They elected their board members. It was the same as last year. And they appointed some folks to the Alaska Development Corporation, which is kind of a subset of JDC. On the 5th of December, I also met with the police department union representatives. And on the 6th, I met with the firefighter union representatives. Both were passion pleas for more assistance and resources. Been hanging out with Mr. Jones, who I would agree is doing a phenomenal job with the Child Care Committee. But I also want to commend Mr. Jones. 19 interviews, and we only finished 9 minutes after his target time. I mean, that's just impressive on any standard. I'm almost done here. On the 11th, Planning Commission met again, first as Committee of the Whole, to discuss legal nonconforming status. And the primary part of the discussion was the rebuild capabilities for nonconforming buildings. The Clinkin Haida Cultural Immersion Park passed. The Cinderella House had some requirements that also passed. The right-of-way improvements and sub-street temporary cul-de-sacs, that was moved to the Assembly. We'll see that as an ordinance. I'll make sure I'm not missing anything for you guys. Everything else you guys have been a part of. So Thank you, Madam Mayor.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Bryson. Is there any continuation of public participation on non-agenda items?
Madam Mayor?
One second.
May I ask a question on one of the reports of the manager?
Yes, you may.
Ms. Hale reported that the airport was asking for an exemption from LEED and that the Juneau Commission on Sustainability was reviewing that. And I guess my question is that the end of the responsibility? Is that who the airport asked for the exemption, not the assembly, not engineering, not you? What the Commission on Sustainability agrees to or says is the end of the discussion, or what?
Mr. Manager.
Madam Mayor, so I don't have the code in front of me, but there is a process for city department to work with the manager on waiving that in consultation with the Commission on Sustainability. I've communicated with several people on JCOS, and I intend to follow up with the airport manager on this. And I really believe that it's incumbent on the airport to make proposal in lieu of satisfying the LEED ordinance. And I think this would be a good Public Works and Facilities agenda item because the assembly has just identified goals on energy and energy usage. While the airport may have a reasonable argument that LEED is difficult for the terminal remodel, they are a big user of imported fuels, and I think it's important that the airport be part of the process of meeting that assembly goal. So I would expect Public Works and Facilities would be a good place to hear my recommendation on the request from the airport.
Thank you. I wasn't looking for any more work, but it struck me that we have empowered boards, and then we have boards that are to advise us. And to hear that, you know, that's where the airport went for, quote, exemption, surprised me. So I thank you for the explanation, and I'll look forward to hearing more about that. Because,
and Madam Mayor and Mr. Jones, I'd also be happy to clarify. So I have a meeting set up with Mr. Figue and Nathan Coffey with engineering to understand LEED better. But it was my understanding, talking with engineering and the airport together, they were both at the JCOS meeting, that JCOS would make a recommendation to the assembly. So it's not that JCOS is making a decision. And JCOS is taking this very seriously, as is engineering and the airport. So that's kind of the stepwise fashion as I understand it.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Hale.
Thank you.
Madam Mayor, since this is of interest, I'll just read the code section. I think this will satisfy this exception procedure. If the manager, with the consent of the assembly, after consideration of the recommendation of the Sustainability Commission, determines that it would not be economically feasible to satisfy the prerequisites for LEED certification in the case of a specific project, that project shall be exempt from the requirement for LEED certification.
Okay. Any more questions in that regard? So, going back, no public participation. Irene, you have to quit moving your call time. All right. Ms. Glashevsky, would you move us into executive session, please?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I would move that the assembly recess into executive session to discuss pending litigation and strategies with the municipal attorney.
All right. Thank you, Ms.
Glashevsky.
Oh, and the city manager evaluation?
Yes.
And the city manager evaluation as well.
All right. Do we need a 5-minute break?
Can I ask the public?
Oh, any public objective moving into executive session? Seeing here, no objection. We are moved to executive session.